Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello and welcome to February Madness. Mm-hmm. It's the basketball postseason, Dalton, for high schools, that is. How you doing?
I'm all right, you know, in the middle of the February Madness, as you just said.
Yep, division tournament started this week. And then next week, it's the quote-unquote state tournament, which to me, you don't really get to the state tournament until you get to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But
playoffs, nonetheless.
It's the state playoffs. We'll call it that. Hey, Brad and Dalton here with you for the next few minutes to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Yeah, we got division tournaments to talk about. Those tipped off earlier this week and continue into Friday. And we have some soccer to talk about a little bit as well. We'll have Athletes of the Week. All that coming up here on Prep Rally that comes to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, your podcast app, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's dive right in, Dalton. Division tournaments. You were up at, where was it, New Site?
Mm-hmm.
For the 1-2A tournament on Tuesday. Took in Walnut and East Union Girls. A couple of decent 2A teams. Walnut actually a pretty solid team, especially when they're able to shoot the ball. And they beat East Union, who has Rayleigh Bell, a very good scorer. And so you ended up seeing a pretty good game, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I kind of expected it to probably be about a 12 to 14 point game like it was the first time they played. But I don't think either team got anywhere. You know, it wasn't separated by 5 points until the closing minutes of the game. East Union actually jumped out to a very early lead and held, you know, Walnut to one field goal in the first quarter. I think they led 9-4 after the first quarter. And then Claire Leak, you know, Walnut leading, I think she's the leading scorer, mm-hmm. with about 12, 13 points a game, just, you know, kind of caught fire there in the second quarter. I think she scored 9 points there, had 10 at the half. It was very low scoring, 21-20. Yeah. East Union hit a layup right before about 3 seconds left in the first half to take a 21-20 lead after Walnut had led for pretty much the entire second quarter.
Yeah.
In the third quarter, I think Leak scored 7 out of the team's 9 points. It's another very low scoring point. I think neither team scored over 9 points, and it was like 9-7, I think, in that quarter.
Yeah.
But they took a 1 point lead, or 29-28 heading into the fourth period, and then that's when all the scoring happened. You know, both teams were in the bonus and started shooting free throws. Vivian Martindale had a little run. I think East Union had cut it to 3 after it had been 6 point lead for a little bit, 5-6 point lead. They cut it to 3, and then Vivian Martindale had a and one layup free throw, and then I think she hit like 4 or 5 straight free throws, just kind of secured the game. The Walnut played, you know, while the offense struggled, the defense played really well. You know, they forced, I think, 13, 14 turnovers in the game. They held Rayleigh Bell to only 10 points, which is under half of what she usually scores.
Right.
So,
but good game for Leakes. He had 23.
She did.
And now Walnut gets to play Ingemar again on Thursday, a team that, you know, they took down to the wire last time they played. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, Lauren Thompson, one of Ingemar's best players, one of their two best players, was out that game after her car wreck. She's been back since then. So, you know, I don't know if Walnut can play them as close, but it could be interesting.
Yeah. I think, you know, if Walnut's defense plays as well as they did yesterday, it could be a pretty close game, but I don't know. The way the offense played, you got to score to win games. So.
Yeah, that's right. You do, Dalton. Other results, another notable result, Baldwin's girls win over Strayhorn, so they will now face New Site, which mm-hmm. they beat last time they played in a bit of an upset.
Yep, and they did it, but this time Ayanna Reagan is – I don't know if she's going to be playing or not. She did not play yesterday with what I was told was an ankle injury.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
You know, I haven't confirmed anything yet, but, you know, she was out yesterday.
Yeah, you're going to work on that today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ayanna Reagan, the very good point guard for Baldwin, mm-hmm. Best player on that team, so they certainly need her back for Thursday against New Site. And then also that day, you've got the Ingemar Strayhorn boys, and then you got Baldwin against New Site boys. Could be a good one as well.
Yeah, the Strayhorn game. Strayhorn is the best 5 seed I've ever seen play in my life, I think.
Really?
I have never seen a team.
They scored 95 last night.
Yeah, they could have scored 150.
Mm.
They weren't missing. They did not miss a shot all night, I don't think.
Jeez.
That's the, like, East Union scored 80, and the game was never close.
Wow. Yeah.
It was just, I've never seen a team work so well offensively like that Strayhorn team did last night. But You know, if I don't know if they'll be able to do it against Ingemar, but
well, you never know. We never know. I was over at Tupelo for the 2-6A tournament and focused in on the Tupelo South Panola girls game, and it looked like the Lady Wave were going to run away with it. They were up by 19 points after three quarters, Dalton, and then South Panola went on a 16-1 run to open the fourth, and suddenly we had ourselves a ball game. And you know, I usually keep up with all the scoring throughout the game. You know, who scores what buckets, and started the fourth quarter. I'm like, ah. I'll stop doing that. This one's over.
Of course.
And then a few minutes in, I was like, well, I guess I got to start again. Once they got it down to about 4 points there, 52-48. But then Tupelo kind of closed the door. Kenzie Sharp had a couple of big layups, and she took a charge in between those two buckets, and that helped Tupelo go on a 10-0 run and ended up getting the win there against South Panola, 64-50. Was the final, and you know, they had the kind of the usual balanced scoring you see them have. You had Shamiah Carruthers had 13 points. You had Jalancia Colheim, I believe, also had 13, and then Hallie Traylor had 12. She had 9 of those on 3-pointers in the first half, and so Tupelo, you know, they looked a little bit. They got flat there. Got a little bit lackadaisical in the fourth quarter, but ended up putting away a team that they should beat, and they did. And so now they'll get to face Columbus again, a team that has beaten Tupelo twice.
Columbus is extremely good.
They are. They get better every time I see them, man. I mean, and I saw them yesterday. They just put a hurt on Oxford's girls last
night. They have a serious chance to win the whole thing.
I think you're right. They got some really, really good players on that team. Some good size, some good shooters, really good shooters. They hit a lot of three-pointers. I think they hit 5 in the first quarter, and they ended up beating Oxford 64-36, and be honest, it wasn't that close. They are just really good. Yeah, it's going to be a tall task for Tupelo, but they'll play them for the division tournament title on Friday. That'll be at 7 o'clock. And then in the boys' game, you'll have Oxford and Tupelo. They both won yesterday. Tupelo boys beat South Panola 54-33. Oxford boys beat Columbus 48-37. And so Columbus tried to slow things down on Oxford there and hung with them for a good while, but the Chargers, clearly the better team. And then, like I said, Tupelo boys defeat South Panola. So it could be a good game there at 8:30 on Friday in the 2-6A title game. There's some other notable results, Dalton, from Tuesday's division tournament action. Aberdeen's boys, been a tough year for them, but they had a nice win against South Pontotoc, got a buzzer beater from Jaquan Jones to win 64-62. So Aberdeen will now face Houston on Thursday. And then the Corinth boys, Dalton, defeated New Albany 69-63. I think New Albany had beaten them twice in the regular season. And yeah, Corinth, it's been a struggle for Corinth.
Yeah, New Albany beat them by 20-13. And Corinth was 9-18 going into that game last night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the biggest win of their season.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's in the 2-4-A, no, 1-4-A tournament.
Yeah, 1-4-A. Can't count out Keith Green.
1-4-A. No, you cannot. And then looking ahead, of course, you got, like I said, Houston-Aberdeen boys in 4-3-A. New Site-Baldwin girls, we mentioned them. They're going to face off in 1-2-A. That one's a game to watch on Thursday. And then Ripley against Tisch County boys in 1-4-A could be a good one.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it could be a very fun game. You got a very balanced Ripley team. No, not a team with really any stars, but some very good players. Of course, their point guard is really good, Jesus Ruedas.
I don't know if it's Rudez.
I don't know. I'm sorry, kid, for mispronouncing your name.
He's good.
He's good. And then you got Braxton Pritchard of Tishomingo can really light it up. So a lot of good games coming up Thursday, and then Friday is when you'll see all the third-place games and championship games. For those who don't know, I think, okay, Dalton, in 5A and 6A, you've got to finish in the top three.
Top three go, and number one gets a bye.
Yeah, for the state tournament. Mm-hmm. And then 1A through 4A, the top four. So if you make the consolation game or the third place game, you're in the tournament from 1 to 4A.
I think
it's just a matter of seeding from that point, isn't it?
I think everyone in 1 through 4A left now are in the playoffs.
Okay, cool. Let's talk some soccer here, Dalton. Had the state championships last weekend. Last Saturday, we had a team down there, Lafayette's girls, playing for the 5A title against
Long Beach,
and they won.
They did. Lafayette is very good, and you could tell early in this game that Lafayette was the better team.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody in the press box was questioning that. You know, they completely controlled the game for the first 20 minutes. I think they had 4 or 5 shots. I don't think Long Beach had a single shot, And then they just couldn't really finish. It was kind of like how the game was against Lewisburg last week when I covered. They took a lot of shots, but they couldn't quite put one in the back of the net. And then all of a sudden they did, and it seemed like they couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Lucy Wilson, the team's leading scorer, she's just only a sophomore, scored about the 22nd minute. And then it looked like, it could be enough to be the game over. Lafayette's only allowed 14 goals in 26 games. But then, and then Long Beach scored a goal about 5 minutes later. They had a pretty long breakaway. I think it could have gone either way on being an offsides, but they didn't call it. Can't argue it.
Yeah.
They scored a goal, tied it up, and then all of a sudden it seemed like for the next 10-15 minutes, Long Beach just absolutely controlled that game. And all of a sudden the press box were like, oh, well, this might actually be a good game now. And then,
right.
But then Lucy Wilson happened again.
Yeah.
And then again.
Yeah, she had a hat trick.
She did. She scored a goal about 20, 25 yards out. We're about 37th minute of the game, right there, 3 minutes before halftime, and just after that, it was all Lafayette.
Yeah, 5-1 was the final.
It was 5-1. She came out in the second half and scored in the 47th minute on a very, very long breakaway. Long Beach started playing very offensively, and they just kept Lafayette played boom ball and just have some one person run down there and just score the goal. They did that with her third goal, and then Kat Moss, I think their senior captain, did the same thing.
Okay.
And they scored another one, just kind of to put it away, 5-1. And
so that's they won a 4A title. What was it? 2 years ago?
It was
3 years
2015
ago?
2015 or 2016?
Okay, now they've won a 5A title, and like you said, that clearly the best team.
Yeah,
The better team. Yeah,
I honestly could see them. They might have a chance of winning it for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, they're young.
They start 2 8th graders, a 7th grader, a 9th grader. They're leading scorer and leading player with assists are both sophomores. So
right. Who's the 7th grader?
Lily Grace McCutcheon.
Trivia, I think it's her that Byron Sparks, the new site girls coach, texted me the other day. He's like, yeah, I'm going to the soccer match. I think he was down there. You may have seen him. That's his niece there, the place for Lafayette.
I was talking to him about that last night. She had an assist in the game, too.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, Lafayette's going to be good for a while. Melinda Scruggs doing a great job there, the head coach. So congrats to the Lady Commodores for winning the state title. Time for a shout-out. Who is it this week? It's Brock Kelly of TCPS. He was named the Gatorade Runner of the Year in Mississippi, and well-deserved, Dalton. Brock, of course, he's a junior. He won the 1A state title in dominating fashion, had the best overall time of any classification of all the runners at the state meet, all six classes, and led TCPS to a third consecutive 1A state title. And so Brock, of course, this came a year after he collapsed while leading the race. And was going to look like he should have won it last year as well, but redeemed himself and named the Gatorade Runner of the Year. So congrats to Brock, first TCPS runner to win that award. Let's close things out with the Athletes of the Week, Dalton. Gosh, we're only about 13 minutes into this thing. Just kind of ran right on through everything,
we
didn't
flew through today.
Well, better to go. I know we probably go long sometimes, so this will make up for it. Athletes of the Week, we do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week, Shamaya Hadley. Sophomore for North Pontotoc. She's really good, Dalton. I saw her against Amory on Friday. She had 32 points, 12 rebounds. I had her hitting 9 of 19 field goals and 12 of 19 free throws. And North Pontotoc won 62-57 in overtime. Kind of like Tupelo against South Panola. They probably should have put that game away in regulation, but Amory came back. But North Pontotoc ended up with a win. She had a nice game there. And then last night, Tuesday against Mantachie in the Division 1-3A tournament, she had 22 points, 11 boards. So back-to-back double-doubles for Shamaya Hadley there at North Pontotoc.
Maybe she'll keep that up when I go see her this week.
That's right. You're supposed to see her
Thursday
against
Belmont.
Could be a good one. Male Athlete of the Week, Ty Miles. He's a senior basketball player for Bruce on Tuesday against Eupora. Really good numbers, Dalton. 25 points, 6 rebounds, hit 12 of 18 field goals. And the Trojans won 85-64 in that Division 2-2A tournament game against Eupora. So congrats to Ty Miles and Shamaya Hadley, your Athletes of the Week. That'll do it. We're done with this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes or any of your podcast apps or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Division basketball tournaments continue through Friday, so look for our coverage in the Daily Journal and at DJournal.com. And we'll see y'all next Wednesday. Until then, have a good one.